What's up? I have such a fun episode for you guys today. On the show, we have Samantha St. Marie sitting down. If you don't know Sam already, Sam is my right-hand gal. She's what keeps everything afloat here at Team Gemma Bonham Carter. And she and I sat down to have a conversation about the beginning of her freelancing career, how it came to be, how she landed those first few clients, and then how she and I started to work together, and the pivot that she's making right now in adding digital offers into the mix to grow and scale her business. It's a really good one. I promise some laughs, some behind the scenes, some storytelling. You're gonna love it. All coming up in this episode of The Passive Project. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Get excited because we have one awesome, amazing, special guest on the show today. None other than Samantha St. Marie, who is my on Team Gemma Bonham Carter. So welcome, Sam, to the show.
Hi, Gemma. I'm so excited to be here. When you asked me, I was like, oh my God, it's my turn.
Yeah, so basically Sam and I talk like every week, but now we're just like actually hitting the record button and we're going to share that with you guys, which is really fun. So if for those of you who don't know, Sam is on Team Gemma Bonham Carter. She is my right-hand lady and she helps me in really every aspect of my business, and I could not be doing what I'm doing today without her help. So yeah, she and I, we always call ourselves dream team, hashtag dream team. And that is exactly how I feel about Sam. So I'm bringing her on the show today because I want to share with you guys, I want her to share with you her story because it's, I think, an interesting and relatable one to a lot of us out there who are wanting to start to, you know, start our own businesses and start to work for ourselves. And she has an interesting path in terms of like how she ended up, where she ended up. And then talk a bit about our experience working together and the sort of interesting transitions she's made in her own business recently and what's in store for her. So let's just dive on in, Sam. And if you want to just, first of all, before I ask you the first question, why don't you just like introduce people to who you are and what you do right now in your business?
Sure. Sounds good. And don't make me cry. Like, I love working with you. Yes, we are hashtag dream team. So my name is Samantha. I run two companies. So I have my services-based business, where I help people like Gemma. It's called Red Rock Content, and it's full of digital marketing services. But I've really niched down over the last couple of years, literally based on the fact that I love working with Gemma. And so I was like, I'm just going to work with the Gemmas of the world. It'll be fine. And then throughout my kind of, you know, path, you know, discovering my niche and everything and being really fascinated with the online space, I launched my own online business based on passive income. And that's called Freelancing for Freedom, where I basically teach freelancers how to do what I did in the beginning.
Yeah, that's perfect. So we're going to talk about that a bit more in just a second, but let's take a step back and go to because you were in a corporate career. And yes. So what was the, like, how did that happen where you left corporate and started a freelancing business?
Yeah. So everyone talks about like the moment that they decided to do something, and mine was kind of forced on me because I was fired. And I was embarrassed by that for the longest time. I kind of hid that. I thought, if, you know, potential clients know that about me, are they going to doubt my abilities to provide quality services or whatever? So I kind of hid that from people for a really long time, but then it became super relatable. So now I tell everybody. But I was kind of side hustling in my corporate job for the longest time. Even when I was in college and university, I was kind of side hustling because I always like to have the ability to bring in whatever money I wanted. If I wanted an extra couple $100, I could go out and find a quick freelancing gig and bring that in. And I if anybody's familiar with Kijiji, I don't, is that strictly for Canada? I don't know.
But it's
like Craigslist and things like that. So I would just go on there and see who needed what. I would respond to those ads and land a couple of people. And that's how I got my first big client, where I started working with a Canadian-based publishing house, and we ended up publishing a couple of bestsellers, which is really exciting. But yeah, so I got fired from my job. It was one of those situations where you walk in and you walk out 10 minutes later and you have no idea what just happened. They don't give you a reason or anything. And I remember sitting in my car and I was crying. Obviously I'm crying. I'm a crier. I cry at like Tim Hortons commercials.
Yeah, me too.
It's just, it always happens. So, and you know, my husband had just gotten his full-time job. We were not in a great place financially. And so I remember calling him and he's like, don't worry, just go home, relax for a couple of days. We'll figure it out. But I'm someone who's always thrived under pressure. Like, give me a ridiculous deadline or tell me that, like, we make this happen or we shut down or something, whatever, and I will make that thing happen. So I went home and I launched my business and I had 3 clients in 2 days. So
amazing. So yeah. I love that story. And it just also goes to show your like scrappy nature, which I love. Yeah. So I know you mentioned Kijiji. Mm-hmm. Is that how you landed those first clients? Like, even when you went the day you got fired and you had 3 clients within a couple of days, is that how you landed them too?
So I landed one of them through Kijiji. He was a mortgage broker out of Mississauga. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, and it was like my first really big client. He came on board and he was paying me like $1,800 a month to run basically everything for him. And then the other two, I went on Upwork, and yes, I landed 2 clients. Looking back now, Upwork is not a great place. I genuinely hate it. And I don't really like to use the word hate that much, but they take a lot of your money. It could be a rabbit hole that we go down, but
yeah.
I did land 2 other clients on there. And you know, Gemma, you talk about how, you know, you hate like this bro marketing, like with ClickFunnels and everything. Yeah. And one of the clients that I landed, he was part of their 2-comma club or whatever that's called, yeah, where like you hit $1 million through ClickFunnels. And he was your like traditional bro marketer. And right, let's just face it, we did not last very long, but yeah, yes, I went on Upwork
and can I also just say, he was on Upwork trying to scam people to get him to do, probably, like, I'm putting words in your mouth here, but probably getting to you to do a lot of work for not a lot of money.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So he was advertising a like 40-page ebook or something for $1,000. And I was like, okay, well, that's really low. But again, I'm in a position where I can't be picky. So yeah, I'm going to bid on that because that would be great for my portfolio. And then next thing you know, he's coming back and saying, oh, somebody just said that they would do it for $750. Would you do it for $750? Right. So instead of the $1,000, I ended up doing it for $750, which as a Canadian, $750 US is still decent.
Yeah.
But I always, not always, but I wonder, like, was that a lie? And right, it probably was. Yeah. It was just like him trying to get
negotiate
everything off. Exactly. When, you know,
negotiate whatever with the little guys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. People who are not in the 2-comma club or whatever ClickFunnels calls that. I don't know. And then I found another, I think I just kind of like the universe was sending me signs. And the other woman, she was also some kind of business coach. She taught corporate companies how to build effective company cultures. That's
okay,
basically. So she was like, maybe like more of a consultant, but that was kind of where I was just naturally headed. Mm-hmm. And then it just started to progress from there and ended up with you.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So how did you and I connect?
Oh, okay. Seriously, I actually think about this regularly, and I owe this girl that I couldn't even tell you her last name. So this is a little bit of a story, but I met this girl in Cuba, random. She's a friend of a friend dating my friend's ex-boyfriend, whatever. And I had a conversation with her about what I do, and she happened to be a really big fan of The Sweetest Digs.
So for those of you who don't know, The Sweetest Digs is my like home decor and lifestyle blog, mm-hmm, that I've been running since 2010.
Yes, exactly. And I had never heard of you. Mm-hmm. And so you posted on, I think it was the Sweetest Digs Facebook page, that you were looking for a virtual assistant and that it would start like kind of very basic and everything. And she tagged me in the post.
Yeah.
And so I didn't come looking for you. I didn't reach out. It was just like the stars aligned and my amazing, I don't even know if I would call her a friend. She's an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Happened to think of me, tag me in that post. And I was like, oh, well, we'll see what this is about. But it was more that I saw the post, went and did research about you. And I was like, oh, I need to get in with her now, because this is going to be something really interesting and really big. And I was right. So,
like a couple lessons from that story, one being always tell people what you do. You never know who knows who or when is going to be like a moment where they think of you or you pop into their head. And I think a lot of times when people are starting online businesses, whether it's services or courses, digital products, whatever it might be, they feel shy. They feel shy to talk to even their family and friends, let alone kind of strangers, about what it is that they do. But it's so important to do that, because you just never know how all of that like connectedness is going to serve you in the end. And also, the more we talk about what we do, the better we get at our elevator pitch, right? And like, it feels clunky and uncomfortable the first time somebody says to you like, oh, so what do you do? I remember like when I would be out and about, especially when I was first doing my online business, people would ask me that. My answer would be like 10 minutes long, because I was like,
oh my God, yeah.
Explain all the ways that I make money, like, because there's a big list. So let me just like go through them all for you, right? Or I felt like really silly just being like, I'm a blogger, you know, it sounds so silly, right? So there's a lesson in there about like being, you know, telling people what we do and being proud about it and that kind of thing. And then the other lesson is just that you never know where serendipitous things are going to happen. Like, I remember actually thinking, should I even bother posting about this job that I'm looking for on the Sweetest Digs Facebook page? Like, who on earth is going to be interested, who's like a blog reader of mine? I really questioned it. So, but I felt a bit like weird about it. Like, I felt this is like not a place for me to be posting a job. This is a place where people want to see pretty pictures of interiors or want to see like DIY projects, not me needing a BA. So anyway, another lesson in there, but, so that's how Sam and I got connected. And she and I, luckily, one thing that was like, I was sort of posting to have a VA who might be based anywhere. I was pretty open to them being in Canada, in the States, wherever. And of course, lo and behold, Sam and I actually live both in Ottawa. So that was like a giant win, because I knew that I had worked with some subcontractors before in a really small capacity, and they had been based in, you know, mostly in the States, and it was fine, but it was always like you could never quite develop the relationship you really wanted to develop. And I was at that time in my business where I really knew that this next person I hired, although I was kind of making it out that it was going to start small, my vision was that this was going to be like my first main hire, where this is somebody who's going to be like a big part of my team. And really, I could see where I was going with my business. And I knew I needed somebody like really strategic to get me there, not just somebody who's going to do like 2 hours a week of Pinterest or something for me, right? Like, I needed a more strategic partner. And so being located in the same city was going to be such a giant benefit. So Sam and I got connected. I did some interviews at one of my favorite local coffee shops. And she and I got together and we talked about work stuff, but then we also spent 20 minutes talking about like our TV shows that we like and like the movies we watch and our hobbies and whatever. Yeah. And I was like, 100%, this is the girl. And then Sam, tell everybody who's listening, what happened, like how long I took to tell you that you had the job.
It was a good week probably, because you're a very thoughtful person. You had already scheduled the other interviews and you don't just want to blow people off, right? That's not very professional, especially in the business that you're in. You want to keep those relationships no matter how small they are. Remember, you don't know what opportunities can come from anything. But yeah, I remember, I feel like we interviewed on a Wednesday, and I think you told me on the Monday or Tuesday of the following week. I feel like it was that kind of time frame. But and I remember I went home and I was like, I need to get this. And so I think I sent you an email because I went through and I looked at your Instagram, and then I sent you some examples of other Instagrams that I think would make yours easier. I remember I like tried to send you stuff like, look at all the ideas I have.
Totally. Yeah. I could see what you were doing, and I dug it. Yeah. I was like, okay, this chick, not only did we get along super well at the coffee shop, and like, I like her vibe and everything about her. But yeah, you went like above and beyond. You went home, you did your, like, I could tell that you'd already done your research about me before the interview, but then after the interview, you went home, you did more research, especially like we had talked, I think, about Instagram and just how I was leveraging the platform at the time. And, yeah, you sent me an email that said like, hey Gemma, here's what I was thinking for your feed. It could like have this kind of look, and you linked to some examples and gave me, it wasn't like some giant novel. It was like a really succinct, good email with like some great ideas, and just showed me that you were thinking about my business. You already were going to come to the table with some like good, thoughtful ideas. And it just, again, showed me like that you go above and beyond. And we can, again, take that lesson into whatever type of business we run. If you sell digital products, if you sell a course, a membership, anything for your audience, how can you go above and beyond to show them that you really are like bringing your A game to the table and like surprise and delight them, right? In ways that not the average person is going to. And so I think the more you can stand out in your business and just go the extra mile, it will always serve you, right? It'll always like get you ahead faster.
Yeah.
So I loved that. So Sam had the job right away.
Yeah.
So we started in, it's funny, like we started in one capacity, and as time has evolved, things, you know, we've evolved with it. So I think like when you, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you first started, you were doing work both for the Sweetest Digs and Gemma Bonham Carter, which was like really starting to get off the ground at that time. And then we sort of figured out what were the priorities and eventually added things to your plate, but also shifted things that you were working on to sort of continue suiting like how the business was evolving and growing. So what were those first, like what were the first few months like working with me?
The first few months, well, there was a big learning curve because I had never been exposed to a business that was strictly online and as passive as you were looking to make your life. Not your life, but your business, you know, like passively walking through life, but you pick up what I'm putting down. You understand. So I remember doing, it was a lot of inbox management because you had said that took up a couple hours of your day, and you wanted to be able to step back and actually be more strategic. So I took that on. There was some kind of like, tasks involving managing the Sweetest Digs shop that you used to have, because you used to have a shop where you sold different items. So there was some things there. But to be honest with you, I think we pretty much started with inbox management and just like a weekly meeting where we would bounce ideas off of each other. But I wasn't like doing social media. I wasn't, you know, creating a lot of content or anything for you. That came much later.
Yeah.
So that was very, very kind of beginner basic at the beginning, which I really appreciated because again, I knew about things like lead pages, but connecting everything, like I had purchased a course before that was all about building like an evergreen machine, like you know, that kind of thing. And I ended up being like, whoa, no, this is too complicated. I can't do this. And I ended up bowing out real quick.
Right.
So this was all new to me. And so having that basic intro time was perfect.
And this goes to, I have, this is a bit of a tangent, but people always say to me like, oh, how did you hire, like, how do you hire a team? How do I know what to look for and whatever? And not that I have some giant team, but in my experience, I haven't really hired necessarily for skills. Like, it's not like I was looking for somebody who knew lead pages inside and out, right? I was looking for somebody who I could tell was like a go-getter, was hardworking, came to the table with good ideas, was really committed and passionate about, and I knew would learn quickly, and who just like added to the culture, right? Like brought cool stuff to the table. And that's, you know, what you did. And so I didn't need you to know Lee Pages because mm-hmm. I knew you'd be able to figure that out, and you'd be able to figure it out quickly. Yep. Right. So Now we've been working together now, as of, you know, January, 2020, it's now been about, a year and a half ish.
I think it's a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you want to just like tell folks at this point in time, kind of what you do in the business now, like what that looks like on a day-to-day perspective?
Oh my God, that list is never ending. Let's just be real.
Summarize.
Okay. So basically I am kind of responsible for all of the like audience facing stuff, if that makes sense. So, you know, podcast, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook content, you know, blog content, things like that. I basically, you know, you kind of create the rough draft of whatever, you know, you'll send me a podcast recording. My husband does all the editing because that's beyond my skill. And it's not a skill I really am interested in learning. So Okay. So all of the front facing stuff that we kind of use to add value to your free audience. And then I'm also a really big part of the paid community. You know, I do virtual tours. I do lots of content creation in there. So it is more, and also I'm involved in a lot of the brainstorming and strategy and all of that kind of stuff. We do our quarterly meetings. So it is very much a like audience facing, both paid and free strategic creation role.
Yeah. Yeah. With like a lot of random things thrown in there from time to time.
Yes. Yes. I do get a string of messages from you on occasion where you're like, oh crap, I have all of this.
Yeah.
No time.
Because as you guys know who listen to this podcast, I like have really giant dreams. I have big dreams for myself, and I have big dreams for everybody else and every audience member of mine and student of mine. I have big dreams for everybody. And so that sometimes means that I like want to do 1,000 things and I need to be reined in. And so Sam does a good job of like sometimes reining me in and then also just like taking some things off my plate so I can stay in my, you know, zone of genius. And for me, like my zone of genius for sure is creating the content, like the, you know, like as Sam mentioned, I will often create like the rough stuff that then she polishes before it goes, you know, mm-hmm. in front of other people. Or it's like creating the lessons and the things that go on behind the scenes inside of my paid programs and doing the coaching with my students. That is my, like I am super strategic and that's my zone of genius. And so I need to make sure that I'm doing those things so that we continue to serve our students in the best way that we can. And that ultimately is what grows our business. Right. So, okay. Now I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about your recent shift, which has been like for, you know, this, however many past years, you have been largely a service-based business, and I'm not your only client. Like there's, you work with lots of other people. And now, you know, after you and I having worked together and you really understanding the potential of digital products like courses and a membership and building a business in that kind of arena. So, you know, I often talk about like a service-based business versus a digital product-based business. And so you are starting to marry the two or to add a digital stream into your business. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I've always been interested in the concept of passive income, but when it's something you've never done before, and I talk about this a lot, how if it's something you can't really touch and you've never experienced for yourself, you have no idea how to make it happen. It just seems impossible. You think to yourself, this person must have grown their audience a ton before. Maybe they had a lot of money for ads. Maybe they had somebody really big vouching for them or whatever. And so for the longest time, it was never something that was very realistic in my mind. And I am one of those very realistic people. And I just always think to myself, okay, can I make this happen? I've since working with you, I've become a little bit more of a woo-woo person, but
the truth comes out. My woo-woo has rubbed off.
Yes, well, it has. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, I had always been really interested in passive income. And when I started my freelancing business, I wanted to immediately get into that. And I ended up investing in a really expensive course. And thank goodness that they had a money back guarantee, because I got in there and I watched a couple of modules and I thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm not even selling my services successfully yet. What am I going to teach people to do? And so I'm a smart and scrappy person. I could have taught people how to do anything, but imposter syndrome kind of set in. Mm-hmm. So I ended up pulling out of that course very quickly. It was like immediate buyer's remorse within a couple of days. And so I just decided to put that on pause for a little bit, because I didn't have the confidence to teach people on a wider scale. I was very comfortable one-on-one. That's what I knew, and I knew how to do that. But actually having a lot of people depend on me, and that's actually a really bad way to think of it as an online business coach, because mm-hmm. their success is not dependent on you.
Yeah.
You give them the tools, and then it's their job to make it happen.
That's
but
right.
I digress. And so I did services for a couple of years now. And then I got in with Gemma and I saw her kind of build the passive project from the ground up. I got in with her before she even started the passive project. So I got to see when it had no members, when it got its first 20, and then when it reached 100. And I'm like, okay, now I get to see this thing being built from nothing. And it's because when you look at other people and you see that they have 200 members or they have 500 students, you forget that they started at zero.
Yeah,
so actually seeing that in real life was a game changer for me. And I was like, okay, people do this every day. People mm-hmm. launch these things every day and they start at ground zero. But this kind of goes back to when we start something new, we feel embarrassed and we don't want to tell people because what if we fail? So, you know, I couldn't really tell you when I decided, but I'm one of those people, when I get an idea in my head, I have to make it happen as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So this was a couple weeks before Black Friday. I think you and I had a conversation. I was like, I'm just going to launch it. The content's not done, but I'm going to beta launch it and see who's interested. My email list was under 100 people because at that point I was kind of advertising that I was a business coach for freelancers, but I had nothing to offer. I was doing it backwards. Like, I had no offer, but I was putting in all this time and effort to build an audience that I didn't have anything to sell to.
But that's not necessarily backwards. Like, you can work on audience building while you're crafting out your idea and your offer, right? Like, I don't think you did it backwards. You just, that was just your journey. So then you launched it.
I
love the way that you say, like, you did a scrappy launch.
I did, because I just wanted to toss it together to see if it would sell, because this is a big issue that I have with advertising as well, is I don't want to put money into it until I know that I'm going to get money back. And I know that's why you say never invest in ads until you know you have a sales funnel that converts. And so I didn't want to put in these hours and hours and hours of work into this program without knowing that I was ultimately going to get paid for that work. So yeah. I created.
And we talk about that inside of, like, the Passive Project and Course Creator mm-hmm. School, of like how important pre-selling your product is to, because that is your method of validation. You do mm-hmm. not want to do, okay, like, I think I've talked about this on a past podcast episode, but like my first course, I spent months and months and months creating content for it. And, you know, I can look back on it now and say, like, okay, well, that all got me to where I was today. And it was a lesson learned, but damn, I wish I'd skipped that lesson. Cause like I spent months creating content for a course that I sold a couple $1,000s of it, but like then the sales dried up and it was really just, it was kind of like friends who bought the course. Like, it was mm-hmm. not really a proper validation, and it wasn't niched enough. Like, there were a lot of issues with it that I could have understood and then avoided losing all that time had I done a proper pre-sale.
Mm-hmm. And I actually I've had other clients in the past who are in the phase of creating the entire course and then planning their launch for 4 or 5 months down the line. And I'm like, why? You're going to spend months creating all this content and not get paid. And what if it doesn't sell? Like, what if sucks? Like, don't live your life thinking what if, but you need to know in the world of business if something is going to sell. Yeah. So, and that's why I did my scrappy beta launch. I was like, I'm not going to create all of this if no one's going to buy it. And I was concerned because my audience is so small and it still is very small. I have, well, now my list is bigger, Gemma, you'll be proud of me. But at that point I did have, I think it was like 83 people on my email list, and I had, was under 800 followers on Instagram. I really had no Facebook presence whatsoever. You know, I started a YouTube channel, but it had like 100 subscribers, and you know, I didn't really have anything big. And so I followed your Black Friday launch method, mm-hmm. and I did, you know, an email sequence, a webinar, and all of that. And I had 8 people sign up for my membership.
Which is like crazy. 8 people out of like your 83 on your email list. That's like an amazing conversion. So in my opinion, that's like all the validation you need, right? To mm-hmm. like go for it and start. Not like, the beautiful thing about like doing the pre-sale is that, okay, then you get this like group of students who are along the ride with you in terms of you building out that content. And then the amazing thing is you get to do it with them where they are asking questions and you have a way better sense of like what it is that they actually want and need from you. And you ultimately create better content because of that.
Exactly. And it's true. I've asked them questions. I've pivoted the mm-hmm. content inside of the course a couple of times yeah. because, you know, they said, you know, I would rather this, or because of all the time zone changes, I can't make all of these different things. Can we change this? And I've made those changes. And so in like my sales copy, and when I talk about the program, I say like your input matters. This isn't yeah. one of those situations where you send an email to a faceless, you know, company giving them feedback. Your feedback is actually taken and applied every single time because yeah. it matters. So having that small group has really been fantastic. And I've had, you know, a couple of the people in there, you know, find clients, and, you know, it also just validates my method for me. Cause I'm like, it worked for me. Yeah. I can't promise it'll work for anybody else. It worked for me though. I know. And so when they come in and they use the content and it actually helps them, it just kind of, it kind of quiets your imposter syndrome totally. That creeps up no matter how successful you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Testimonials and like social proof and seeing results are mm-hmm. exactly what you need to like feel confident in going forward and continuing to market. So that's amazing. And then that's the other thing about pre-selling is like, you do need testimonials and social proof. That's a really important part of crafting an irresistible offer, because people will, potential prospects, potential buyers are going to have fear that your method, your framework, whatever you're teaching is not going to work for them. Okay, it worked for you, but you're a special unicorn and it's not going to work for them. And the way that you squash that fear is by providing testimonials. And that's why it's so important in your sales page, in your email sequence, on your social media, when you're doing launches, that you show those testimonials. So that's amazing. And I know now you're coming up on kind of your first proper live launch. So yes. We'll be able to like, maybe we could do like episode number 2, where we talk about
part two.
All the incredible growth that I know is going to happen. By the way, Sam's program is called Freelancing for Freedom. We will make sure to include a link with this podcast so you can go and check her out. But yeah, I'm just so excited about that part of your journey.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it too, because I genuinely see the potential now. Before, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, it just seemed like, I don't know. I feel like as I'm saying this, listeners will understand my struggle to explain the feeling when you look at a program that exists and it's not even in your mind as an option, because you just don't see how it's possible. But being inside of the Passive Project, helping you with all the content, seeing your journey firsthand, I see the potential. I see how to make it happen. I see the exact path that I need to take. And now Yes, I'm coming up on my first really big live launch, and I'm excited for that possibility to see who comes in and then what the next step is, and then also what other things I can do, you know, like maybe like do like a like run ads to a tiny offer. I know that you do that with 52 prompts and it's been really successful for you. So, you know, things like that, different options, like the options are endless, and I never truly grasped that until I just decided to do a scrappy launch and be like, "Oh, okay. So yeah. Now I have like a few hundred dollars a month that comes in and I don't really have to do anything. So let's see what else I can do."
Yeah, exactly.
Go from there.
Yeah, it really does like open your mindset to all of the potential opportunities. And that's not to say that you're going to like give up your services, right? Like it, what a nice way
don't
to
worry,
have like,
Gemma, don't worry.
Yeah, guys, Sam cannot go anywhere. GemmaBonner.com would cease to exist.
And I remember this conversation actually though, when you started the Passive Project and you were like, go in and do all the learning. But, you know, even when you have your own program, like we're still going to work together, right? Like, yes, Gemma. So we've already made the plan. No, we've already made the plan how like down the line when, you know, maybe the program is bigger, how like it would just be like that and then Gemma and that would be it. And it's always been in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's the vision, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This has been an amazing chit chat. I think everybody's going to love, our, you know, storytelling and banter and all that kind of stuff. If somebody is listening, Sam, and they are thinking to themselves, ooh, this is like freelancing is right up my alley. This is something that I've been wanting to do. I want to quit my horrible 9-to-5 gig and work for myself, work from anywhere, get that lifestyle. What would be, let's say like your three top tips for somebody wanting to start a freelancing gig?
So you'll see a lot of content out there telling you just to start. I'm not one of those people. I am one of the unpopular opinions. I find, especially in a service-based business, there is prep that needs to happen. So the first thing that I would do is to actually break down what your income goal is. To be honest with you, I know that sounds strange, but it's going to basically help you establish your pricing, figure out what packages you need to sell, and then actually the audience that's willing to pay for that. But you need to always base kind of your business decisions off of what income you want to make, because this is services. This is not, you know, it might be different with passive income, but if it's just services, then you have a certain amount of people that you have to reach out to. You have a certain amount of packages you have to sell, and you have to have a number in mind all of the time. So you need to kind of work backwards. You start with your income and then break it down for yourself. So that would be the first thing that I would do. The next thing that I would do is honestly tell everybody. When we're first starting out, we get so scared to even say that we're starting something new. We almost want to like achieve our first milestone before we tell anybody so that we can start talking about the success instead of the building part. But the success part doesn't come if nobody knows about you. So
exactly. Make
sure that you reach out to people that you know. You know, if you don't really have to do that with friends and family. I've never been someone who sells to friends and family. I know a lot of freelancers do that. You don't have to do that if you don't want to, but tell people what you do. Don't be afraid to talk to them about your side hustle. When I was doing my side hustle, I actually couldn't tell anybody because I had signed it was part of my contract with my employer that I couldn't do any work outside of that job, which was weird. But so make sure that you're telling absolutely everybody. And then when you are ready to start finding clients, don't cancel out the importance of actually reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. With the growth of social media and, you know, email and things like that. But it's very easy to think that you can just hide behind all of these images and captions and things like that. But think of how many millions or billions of people are online these days. How are you supposed to separate yourself from them? Social media is very competitive. You can grow an audience, but it takes time. And people shy away from something like sending an email reach out, like a personal email to someone that you're interested in working with, providing value and asking them, hey, do you think that this would be a good fit? Like, can we talk about this? So don't cancel out the really big opportunities that will come from physically reaching out to people and asking them if they need your help.
And so many people don't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Even for myself with, you know, gemmabottomcarter.com or even thesweetestdigs.com, when I was running that more actively, very rarely do I get a pitch from somebody, mm-hmm. like a mm-hmm. good, well put together pitch that lands in my inbox that says, you know, here's kind of like some information about who I am and what I do. And here's what I was thinking about your business and how this might be a really big value add mm-hmm. and like really showing me the win that could be possible by working with that person. I so rarely get those. And so mm-hmm. that just goes to show you like the opportunity is there, right? Like the opportunity is there to reach out to whoever it is that you want to serve and yeah, pitch your services.
And Gemma, you preach so much about the importance of having an email list because you are literally getting a direct line to your audience. And it's the exact same concept with a service business. That is a direct line to a person versus social media where it's like, okay, I'm going to put in these hashtags and see how far my post can go, or I'm going to post this blog and hope it goes viral. When you leverage the power of email, but you're very specific. I'm talking like you go and you do your research and you pick 10 people that you would love to work with and you personalize the crap out of those emails. Mm-hmm. Like take 10 to 15 minutes per email. But trust me, if you personalize it enough, you will get people responding to you. And emails have kind of been, you know, they're now kind of seen as really salesy because we do get a lot of spam emails now. But you also have to think of it on the reverse, that if you do take the time to personalize it, that is a surprise and delight opportunity. Yeah, 100%. For you.
And this is like exactly like, it's such a good lesson and an example of even when we talk about sending out pitches, even not in terms of pitching services, but pitching partnerships and collaborations mm-hmm. as online business owners. If you want to get on somebody's podcast or do some sort of lead magnet swap or get some sort of feature or work with somebody in some way, I talk about a lot of this stuff with my students. And the more that you can personalize that pitch and make it so like amazing, it becomes a no-brainer for them to want to open it, read it, respond, and like work with you, right? So mm-hmm. no, it's for sure like something that so many people miss. Like we get so caught up in social media and we forget, and partnerships and relationships and collaborations are, those can be what skyrocket your business so much faster, no matter what business model you're using. It's so important to develop relationships. And if you work in a silo, you really are going to see seriously slow growth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, I definitely recommend email reach outs for sure. It's a way that I've grown my business over the last year. And it, once you do it a couple of times, the whole like being scared about it, it stops because you'll get your first couple responses that where people are like, wow, thank you so much for actually showing me that you did your research.
Exactly.
Even if that's what you get back, at least you know that your emails are hitting home for people.
Yeah.
100%. So that's honestly the biggest game changer for my business over the last year and a half or so was getting up the courage to actually reach out to people and, you know, not sell them right away, but ask them if they need help or give them a quick win or a tip or something like that, that sparks mm-hmm. a conversation. It's a direct line versus throwing a fishnet and hoping that you catch
exactly.
something.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So where can people, I know you got an awesome freebie. So where can people, can you tell people what that is and where they can download it?
Yeah. So I call it the 1 week to your next client guide. So it kind of goes off of the whole email reach out thing. So I walk you through like the 5-day sequence that I follow exactly in my business where, you know, I find all of the people that I'm going to reach out to, the email that I send out, the follow-up that I do, and all of those different things, how to like, you know, make sure that you're not, you know, reaching out to people that are potential nightmare clients, all those different things. So it's the exact steps that I take to find clients really quickly, maybe during slow season, or if somebody drops off really unexpectedly and I need to make that up, then this is the system that I use and it works. I, you know, in the month of December when people are going on vacation and, you know, it's slow season for them you know, I acquired 2 new clients in a slow season month. So it works. So if you want to download it, you can go to my Instagram. It's just Samantha St. Marie. I'm the only one on there. And the link is in my bio, but you can also go to my website, which is SamanthaStMarie.com, and it is listed on there.
Perfect. We'll make sure that all of that's included in the show notes. Okay. Well, Sam, thank you for hopping on the podcast today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Gemma. It was fun.
For tuning into that episode with Sam. So fun, right? If you love this episode or any others, I would so appreciate it if you could leave us a review or a rating on iTunes. It goes a long way to helping us continue to produce this free, amazing content for you on the podcast. Danny Page said, love Gemma's honest and value-driven approach. I'm constantly taking notes during every episode and implementing them into my online business. Thank you. Well, Danny, thank you for leaving that amazing review. And you guys, I will see you in the next episode.